Good morning. I'm happy to see you all. Let's stand together and praise the Lord by singing, "To God be the glory." Let's glorify Him together.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our worship, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Our Heavenly Father, on this last day of Camp Cycor 2023, we give You thanks for every good and perfect gift that comes to us from Your hands. Lord, we can never thank You enough for all the work of the Holy Spirit we've seen in these days. As we have entered into worship already, may our voices and our hearts and our minds be united in praise of our great God, who calls us His sons and daughters. Lord, inhabit our praise and anoint us with the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. I invite you to take your seats, and as you do so, welcome you to our final service of Camp Cycor 2023. There are very few announcements to make since we're just about finished. And yet, although this is our last time together this year, we know the Holy Spirit continues to work. And He is not dependent upon a place, but rather dependent upon us being open and allowing the Spirit to move. Reminder that next year, Camp Cycor 2024 will be July 18th to the 28th. We are still putting together the slate. We have a couple confirmations, but we will announce a full slate once that has been confirmed. I want to take this time to thank those who work so diligently and faithfully with us. I want to thank Dale Starbuck and Judy Mann for all that they do and their faithfulness here in the main tabernacle. I want to thank our media team as well. They do a wonderful job, and it's one of those ministries that when everything goes right, we say, yeah, when there are any hiccups at all, we notice it. But thank you so much to our media team. They do a wonderful job. They are on the job constantly and consistently. So thank you to our media team. I also want to say thank you to our Tabernacle staff. There are those who work diligently in here to keep it clean and picked up and ready for us to come in and worship twice a day, be here for Bible study. And also thank you to the ushers who so faithfully have served us throughout our time. Will you join with me in thanking them as well? Lastly, I want to invite you to be in prayer for the Camp Sycor Board. We meet in our fall board meeting on Friday, September 15th through Saturday, September 16th. And so if you would be in prayer for us on that weekend, we certainly would be appreciative. Ron?
You can remain seated. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. We've praised the Lord. We've given Him glory. Now we're going to thank Him for His faithfulness to us. Let's sing together. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence, cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God. He has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
As we prepare ourselves for the final offering of this camp, you'll notice the camp number or the budget numbers that are to my right on the board. We still have a little ways to go, and so we want to give you an opportunity, if you have yet to make a pledge, if the ushers would come. They have envelopes. We've pulled most of the envelopes out of the pews in anticipation of getting the tabernacle cleaned up. But if you have yet to make a pledge and you'd like to do so, or if you need an offering envelope, if you'll simply raise your hand, our ushers will be happy to pass those offering envelopes to you. So if there's anyone who needs an envelope, the ushers are prepared to pass those amongst you. We have heard again and again the impact of Camp Syker, both on generations that have passed and our anticipation of how God is going to work in the generations yet to come. We want to see Camp Syker continue, and I know that you do, and we partner in that together. And so we want to invite you to have a part and an investment in Camp Syker. If the ushers are prepared, I think we do have one in the back who needs an offering envelope. If they are prepared with the buckets, we will take up this morning's offering. I'll invite you to bow with me in prayer. Father, as we come to this final service, again, Lord, we say we know you're not done yet. And we know the work of Camp Syker isn't just for the 10 days that we come together and we're the community of faith here, but it extends throughout the year. Lord, you know the needs of the camp. You know what has to happen. You know the vision that you've given us for the future. And so now, Lord, we pray that you would give us all that we need, resources, time and money and people and talents. Lord, you would help us to plug those into the right places so that not only would Camp Syker continue on in strength, but so that the work of the kingdom, not just here, not just through us, but throughout the world, through all the people of God, would happen again and again and again. Bless these offerings, O God, to glorify your name in all the earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
was a holy hush all over as I walked into the room. Stood before him face to face, and I was gloriously made new. There was a great and awesome presence, and a light as bright as day. And as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I could hear the Spirit say, "All arise, all arise, to stand before the throne, in the presence of the Holy One. All arise, as we worship the Messiah. At those all around me with their hands uplifted high. The Spirit laid his hand on me, so I uplifted mine. And we were singing hallelujahs, praises to his name. And as I bowed to kneel with the angels, I could hear the Spirit say, is to come. He is the great I am. Arise, arise, to stand before the throne in the presence of the Holy One. Arise, arise, as we worship the Messiah. Here's what they're singing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, worthy the morning, my song shall rise to thee.
Well, you are dismissed. That was the message. But if you insist on staying, you can turn to Colossians chapter 1 for one more time. What can we say about this place and this people here? And my thanks to these great godly people who have led us this week. Thanks to Ron. Thanks to our brother Joe Donjo, who has so beautifully led us through the Word this week. Thank you to we all for coming to this morning's service. I'm looking in my own life just currently at Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. I'd like to read it with you this morning. A lot of discussion in our days about the subject of reconciliation. It's a term I hear a lot in our day, reconciliation. A lot of people are talking about it, a lot of people expressing the need. No doubt there's a need for reconciliation, reconciliation between us and God, reconciliation between people, between groups, relationships. Reconciliation is a great need of our day. I'm desperately interested in my life to going to God's Word, to have the Word shape what I think. What does He think? Not what do I think, not what I want it to be, what He wants it to be. And so I'm coming to the Word this morning to understand more thoroughly what God Himself thinks, what the whole need of is in reconciliation. He says in verse 19 in Colossians 1, it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by Him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. No doubt there's the need expressed. You can understand that we as human beings have a great need. There's no need to go into that. You see it in our world constantly. We experience it in our personal relationships. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you understand the need between us and God. Reconciliation is desperately needed. The language all over the place within the verses that we just read. In verse 20, he says that Jesus made peace. If you need to make peace, there's a problem. There's a problem between us and God when we're born into this world. It's manifest all the time in our relationships and in our world. He expresses that language quite strongly in verse 21. You were once alienated, enemies. All that language is so strong in the original language. It oozes with hatred, enemy type kind of stuff. So the need between us and God and the need between one another is all the time reconciliation. There's probably a couple things that stand clear about reconciliation. I'd like to just spend a short time this morning before we close in a beautiful time. Couple significant points, it seems to me, from the Word. Again, not what I think, not what I want it to be. What does God's Word say? What does His Word want to shape my whole view about reconciliation? One thing is obvious is that reconciliation is His thing, not our thing. Not what we do, it's who He is, and it's what He Himself does. Even the word reconcile, it literally comes from an old Latin word, reconciliare, and you understand whenever you say it means you're going back to something. Reconcile, revival, renewal is all about the idea, hey, something's gone wrong. We need to get back to what it was. There needs to be a restoring of what once was. And so in the previous verses to this, in the beautiful passage in Colossians 1, he's been expressing how everything came from Jesus, you'll remember. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, by Him all things were created in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, dominions, thrones, principalities, powers, all things created through Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. He's the source, we discover. He's the source we talked about the other day. He's the source. He's the origination. He's the pattern of everything that is. He's the pattern for all relationships. He's the source of all life. He's the very design of creation. We were made through Him, for Him. Everything goes back to Jesus. Everything was made through and for Him. So it makes sense that reconciliation is not, what do I think it should be? It's going back to Him and saying, what did you intend for this to be? It's not my idea, it's your idea. Hey, God, don't make things the way I think. Oh, I've got my ideas, you know. I've got my opinions. If you ask me the way I think things should be, there's no shortage of opinions in our day. Just get on social media. There's no shortage of telling each other what we think. Our opinions are floating everywhere in these days. Everybody has their opinion, but you understand the need of our world is not my opinion. The need on social media is not even my opinion. The need is, what does he think? What is his plan? What is his design? And so part of the whole emphasis of these verses about reconciliation are, it's a getting back to who he is, what he thinks, how he desires, what he planned everything to be in the first place. You'll notice it's so clear in the verses. Just read through verses 20 through 22, not to mention all the preceding verses. Do you see all the emphasis on him? I mean, you just can't walk away from these verses without just having your hair blown back, if you have any. Overwhelmed with the idea of just, man, him. He is. Everything. Even the verses that we just read. Notice I don't want you to get too excited about this, but all the prepositional phrases. He's the object of all the prepositional phrases even. It's by him to reconcile all things to himself. I mean, how much more can you say it? That everything is about him and going back to him. How do we have peace? Verse 20. He himself is the one who made peace. You understand there is no peace without Jesus, right? There's no peace in your soul. There's no peace in a human being. There's no peace in relationships. There's no peace in the world apart from Jesus. You try it. Try it sometime. Try to have peace. You might have it for 2 seconds. You might have it temporarily. You might have a ceasefire. But you're never going to have true peace without or apart from Jesus. He made peace. The word in Greek, I love this word. It takes the word peace and the word for make or produce like an artist. Like an artist literally has something inside of himself or herself, and it comes out of the heart or being of that artist. And it's the idea that out of his very being comes peace. It's he alone is the source of peace. It's who he is. Where does this come from? Where does this reconciliation come from? In verse 22, in the body of his flesh. You see what I'm saying? You want to talk about reconciliation? Don't you dare talk about reconciliation apart from Jesus. We don't have a chance at reconciliation with God. We don't have a chance at reconciliation with each other apart from Jesus. So question this morning, why do we try? We keep trying. Our world keeps desperately trying, like somebody that hasn't learned their lesson. We keep beating our head against a brick wall. Not a good idea. But we keep doing it over and over and over again in our society. We need reconciliation. We've got to have reconciliation. We've got to get along better. That's true. But we keep trying to do it ourselves. You ever notice that? All the messaging of our day, we talk about reconciliation, we talk about things like justice, all good, true, yes, need those things, yes. But we talk about those things, our culture does, as if you can do it apart from Jesus, as if he's not the only source. Instead of talking about, yes, we need reconciliation, yes, we need, but Jesus is the only source, and apart from him, it's brokenness. Apart from him, we're shattered. Apart from him, we're a shambles. Apart from him, any human relationship, not to mention relationship with God, has zero chance of surviving apart from Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that all our attempts, hey, we try to do it, but you notice how it only perpetuates more of the same, doesn't it? So that's why Paul's message is so overwhelmingly strong. Let's just get back to Jesus. It's what only he can do. It's what only Jesus can. Reconciliation is in Jesus. That's the strong message of chapter 1 into chapter 2. Jesus, he's the focus. You'll notice what Paul goes into in Colossians chapter 3 and 4. Chapters 1 and 2 is all about the theology, if you will, the truth about Jesus. What's chapters 3 and 4 about? Relationships with each other. You want to have relationships with each other? You want to see how a husband and wife operate?
Want to have parent-child? Want to have healthy relationships within the body of Christ? Start with Jesus. Want to see reconciliation in our world? Start with Jesus. Want to see reconciliation in the church? Start with Jesus. Want to see redemption in our world? Want to see real justice in our world? Start with Jesus, right? Start with Jesus. I don't know how it works altogether, above my pay grade. But I know this from the scripture. Everything goes back. Get Jesus in the middle of anything and watch what he does. I need a relationship with you, God. I'm looking to Jesus. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, I need redemption and peace in the relationships in my life. I'm going to get you smack in the middle of it and see what you do with my relationships in my life. Anybody need Jesus in their relationships today? So one thing that's abundantly clear about reconciliation in the passage is it's his thing. It's what he does, it's who he is, it's in him is reconciliation. But there's a second thing that is a little, I find it quite overwhelming lately about reconciliation. And it's in the word that he uses here for reconciliation. This idea that by it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, by him to reconcile himself. So this idea of reconciled, and he says it again in verse 21, yet now he has reconciled. And I apologize that I feel really inadequate to communicate this to you this morning, but there seems to be this idea in this reconciliation that reconciliation has something to do with an exchange. It's somehow... is an exchange. In fact, the word itself there, reconcile, I'd like you to learn the Greek word with me this morning. You're all up for this, aren't you? The Greek word that's translated in Colossians 1, reconcile, is the verb apokatalasso. Apokatalasso. Can you say that with me? Apokatalasso. Thank you for five of you that said that. Apokatalasso. That's a compound word in Greek. It's kind of like Lego blocks put together. The preposition that's apo is the part that literally means the completeness or has the idea of back to or returning to apo. The middle part, kata, has to do, it literally, in this case, kind of strengthens the word. It just kind of puts it on steroids, just kind of bolsters the meaning of the word with even more gusto. The main part of the word is the alasso, apo, kata, alasso. And alasso has several meanings, which some of which have to do with, you know, bringing things together and so forth. But if you scan down the list of definitions in the Greek dictionary, you find some interesting definitions about alasso. And you have definitions like this: to make something other than it is, to take one thing for another, or to interchange. That's the word that's translated reconcile. So could it be that reconciliation is this idea of almost an exchange? Now you say, that's really interesting. I think you're making something out of nothing, and I thought so too. But then I looked at another passage. You can turn to this just briefly. In 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll finish shortly. 2 Corinthians 5, I apologize. In 2 Corinthians 5, one of the most, powerful passages in the New Testament on reconciliation. Guess what word he uses? Katalasso. And in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, I won't go into all the background of the whole account this morning, but it's one of the most powerful passages in Scripture about reconciliation. Here's what he says. You may know these verses. Colossians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, we're talking about exchange already. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And again, the word, the essential word that he's using all throughout that passage is the same word, almost, except for the apo left off, that we're talking about in Colossians 1, this reconciliation, this exchange. And then to summarize this whole 2 Corinthians 5 passage, he comes down to the final verse. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, after talking about this reconciliation we just read, for, in other words, I'm going to explain this, let me get down to the nuts and bolts, let me get down to the bare essence of this, for God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a picture of an exchange. Jesus, literally, somehow at the cross, has taken in redemption, has taken into himself all that we are. What an exchange. What a deal. What a deal we have for you. Jesus takes into himself all that we are, all that we've been, all of our past, all of our brokenness, all of our lostness, all of our sin. Jesus takes into himself all that we are, and in exchange, we get the fullness of Christ in us. Anybody interested in that exchange? Can I say that again? The picture he paints is that Jesus, literally, he became He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteous. What a deal. He takes into himself all my sin, all my lostness, all my brokenness, everything that I was, takes into himself, and in exchange, really, I get to have the righteousness of God, and I get to have in my life all that he is in exchange for that. We talked last night about the fullness of God. That is an unimaginable exchange in our world. See, in our world, it's all about you owe me, pay up. But this is an amazing picture of reconciliation. What could it be that what reconciliation is all about with God is that I'm going to take all that you are and I'm going to give you all that I am. And our world can't imagine that, can't conceive of that. Our world says, hey, you owe me, pay up. You want things to be right between me and you? You want to reconcile with me? Then you give me what you owe me and we'll see. Probably won't be enough. So you'll probably have to give me more. All we know how to do is repayment. All we know how to do is pay up. All we know how to do is you owe me something. But God has this amazing, this is what he offers us. This, could it be this morning that this is what reconciliation is? The exchange of life. Jesus, I offer to you all that I am, and in exchange for all that I am, I'm open to receive all that you want to be in and through my life, that dispenser of Jesus, that fullness of God in me. Now, that's not all. If that's true, that's what reconciliation is, if this is an exchange with God, if the Christian life, a friend of mine says the Christian life is an exchanged life, I yield to him all that I am. He comes to be all that he is in me. Man, really? My brain from the world says there's got to be more. What's the catch? What are you trying to sell me, God? Where's the hook? What do you really want out of me? And God says back, don't want anything, just you. I want to literally take into myself all that you are, all your brokenness, all your past, all your lostness, all that you are, and I want to literally come to live within you and be all that I am. No conditions, no hook, not trying to trick you, not trying to sell you something. This isn't a bait and switch. We'll tell you more later what you really owe me, God said. No. Want to literally, unconditionally, all that I am in you. Now, if I could embrace that that's what reconciliation with God is, then I can understand and embrace the rest of what he's saying in 2 Corinthians 5. Did you hear what he talks about? He talks about that God has given us, is verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's in the word, he's in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation, and we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled unto God. Do you get the picture of what he's talking about? That you and I get to be these ministers of reconciliation. That if I can receive all that he is, hey, no conditions, God, take all that I am. Hey, you come, Jesus, you come to be all that, the fullness of God in and through my life. That's what we believe holiness is, the fullness of God in and through our lives, demonstrated, Jesus dispenser kind of thing. Then I can just, I have this freedom. Imagine this. I have this freedom to go out into the world. I have this freedom in my relationships. I have this freedom in society. I get to walk around, Jesus dispenser thing, I get to walk around and be a minister of his reconciliation. In other words, my life can demonstrate and testify to people, boy, do I have an offer for you. Wouldn't you like to offer God all that you are? Wouldn't you like to give him everything? Sin, your brokenness, your past. Wouldn't you like to let him have everything that that you are, and in exchange, wouldn't you like to receive in your life all that he is? That's the need of our world today, isn't it? And instead of my mindset of, you know, my relationships, you know how it is. I think people owe me. The picture of Colossians 3 and 4 is this life of, what does it look like for this reconciliation? What does it look like for this life, the fullness of Christ in and through me, demonstrated in relationships? Anybody need reconciliation in relationships today? Wouldn't it be something? And have our musicians come and help us as we begin to close in a moment. Wouldn't it be some, I tell you, I don't know all there is to know about reconciliation this morning, but I know two things. It's in him. It's what only he can do. It's not my idea, it's his idea. It's not what I think it ought to be in relationships. Not what I think the world ought to be. It's what he thinks, back to his word, who he is, what he thinks. Second thing. It's exchange. Jesus, here's all I am. Here's all I've been. I'm making no attempt to come to you this morning with a cleaned up, fixed up version of myself. You want me? Here I am. And in exchange, I'm welcome and opening for you, open for you to come and be all that you are through my life. And wouldn't it be something to live that way in relationships now? See, somebody wrongs me in relationship, you probably never have this happen. Let's this be something in a marriage, wouldn't it? To be a minister of reconciliation in marriage. Hey, you hurt me, you owe me, you, hey, pay up. No. Jesus, let you have all that I am so you can be all that I, all that you are through me. Minister of reconciliation. Can you imagine that kind of ministry of reconciliation in families, like parent-child relationships? You owe me. You did me wrong. Work relationships, church relationships, you owe me. Driving in traffic, pay up. Hey, Max, you owe me. Pay up. Somebody did me wrong. It'd be something to walk around just being this. Minister of reconciliation. Go out of this place, man. On the way home today, go back to my church, go back to my family. Jesus, here, all that I am. Hey, Jesus, I'm all of my brokenness, all of my hurts, all of my offenses, all that I am. Exchange all that you are in me. Jesus, could you just pour that through me to everybody around me? In a ministry of right, wouldn't it be something? Nobody owes me anything. You don't have to pay me back. You don't owe me anything. You don't have to make up anything to me. Hey, it's no problem. Minister of reconciliation. As we get ready to close, we're gonna have a time of prayer together. It'll be a great time. But I think what he invites us to is as we leave this place, hey, we're going to join hands. It's going to be a beautiful moment. It's going to be this, hey, unity and singing together, worship, lift him up. But man, when we leave this place, the need out there is for Jesus dispensers. The need out there is for ministers of reconciliation. Not going to be us. We don't got a chance at it. Not going to be my idea. It's not going to be me doing it. Not going to be my fix. It's got to be him, and in him, it's your thing, not what I think, what you think. And Jesus, all that I am, here it is. All that you are in and through me. You need reconciliation in your life? Need reconciliation in your world? As we gather together this morning, who would be open this morning as we leave this place to an exchanged life? Exchanged life. All that I am, all that you are. Ministers of reconciliation as we leave this place.
I'm going to invite you to stand and begin to make a circle around the interior of the tabernacle as we bring this year's camp to a close. And I will pray a prayer of blessing upon us, and then Ron will lead us in the doxology. Will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Father, we come to this moment in the camp with mixed feelings, we confess. There's a joy and there's a sense of contentment and fullness. Lord, a fullness that John spoke of last night. Lord, we're not filled merely to be full, but for that fullness to be emptied out of us. Lord, some of us would love to be at Syker year-round, but that's not the purpose and it's not the intent of the camp. And it's not your intent, but rather it is that we be the sent ones, that you would send us out into that ministry of reconciliation that only happens through Jesus. Lord, the world can offer reconciliation in 1,000 different ways, and yet they all fail without Jesus. And so as we are sent out into the world, into our communities and our homes and our businesses and our schools and our churches, let us be about that ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Lord, it is the unique offering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. that we can come back into relationship with our Heavenly Father, the relationship that every one of us is made for. And so, Lord, we pray the words that Paul spoke in Colossians, that as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so let us walk in him. May we be rooted and built up in Jesus and established in the faith, just as we have been taught throughout these last 10 days and for many of us throughout our lives, that we might be abounding in thanksgiving. Lord, we don't know what the next year holds. We know that some of us who are gathered here in this circle will not be here next year for a variety of reasons. And while the future is unknown to us in detail, we know the one who holds the future. Hold us all in the palm of your hand, guiding, directing, loving, forgiving, gracing us even with the presence of Christ Jesus in every moment. May the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God that dwells in him, fill us and then move out and be sprinkled in every part of our lives to everyone we meet. All these things we ask in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.